Good morning.
Hi.
Again, I'm Christy Allgood. I'm from the Sinai Urban Health Institute, and I'm going to talk about knowledge of and enrollment in free mammogram screening programs in two West Side communities in Chicago. I have no relationships to disclose. First, I'm going to talk about the epidemiology of breast cancer in Chicago. I'm not going to go through the outline because it'll appear throughout the presentation. From this slide, you can see that the incidence of breast cancer is actually higher among women. It's 18% higher among white women, yet the mortality rate is 40% higher among black women when you compare it to white women. So there's definitely a problem in Chicago. This is Chicago-specific data. Now, it's a little bit old, so the next slide will show you more recent data. So this graph shows you data, mortality data between white and black women from 1981 to 2007. And you can see in the 80s, the rates were almost equal. In fact, the white rate was higher than the black rate. And then in the 90s, you started seeing a disparity kind of coming about. And then now in 2007, which is the most recent mortality data we have in Chicago, you can see that 62% or black women in Chicago are 62% more likely to die from breast cancer than white women. And what happened in that time period where the rates started kind of separating was that the Mammography Quality Standard Act of the United States was passed in 1993, which ensured quality of mammography services, although that's questionable. But the generally, all the machines, all of the doctors, everyone had to kind of fit within a certain quality standard. So quality started to improve over time. And also, treatment became more available, and so did mammography services. So insurance companies started covering those things. So you can see the rate declined very nicely among white women, but the rate for black women stayed the same and, in fact, increased slightly by 2007. You don't have to read this paper, but the only reason why I put it up there is because this article suggests that as cancers become more detectable and survival is impacted by a good detection like screening mammography, or treatment is very good so that if it's detected early and there's treatment available to reduce mortality, the disparities actually go up. So the better the treatment, the better the screening methods, the higher the disparities are for those cancers, which seems a little strange. So what that kind of suggests to me is that the problem really isn't a genetic problem, which is often referred to when we're talking about health disparities. It's really an access problem or a quality problem, and those things can be addressed at the individual hospital level or kind of at the community level. So now I'm going to talk about free mammograms because the communities that we surveyed, which I'll talk about in a minute, really, really need these programs. Essentially, the state of Illinois has a free mammogram program. It's called the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. It's part of the early detection program that's, I think every state has some sort of program like it. It provides free mammograms and free pap smears to uninsured women. Every uninsured woman in Illinois is eligible for this particular program, and then there are others that have income restrictions. But in fiscal year 2011, they provided about 39,000 mammograms, and unfortunately, that number is starting to decrease. So they're providing 1,000 fewer in fiscal year 2012. The funding structure of this program really only covers about 11% of the uninsured in Illinois, so that covers the entire state, not just Chicago. But in Chicago specifically, women of color tend to be uninsured, and they tend to qualify for these programs. So now I'm going to talk about the survey we did. This is kind of an image of our logo for the Helping Her Live program, which is a community outreach and navigation program. It's the first one we've seen kind of moving people from the community to action at the medical centers and following them all the way through treatment. But before we started this program, and of course it's funded by the Avon Foundation for Women, but before we did this program, before we started, and we did a survey to find out what the community needs were, this program serves two community areas in Chicago's West Side. So what we did was we used venue-based sampling, and the reason why we did that was because we wanted to find women who were not connected to the medical world. We wanted to find kind of the very disenfranchised women. They had to be mammogram age, so they had to be women and over 40, and then they had to live within two of the 77 community areas in Chicago. We had 13 interviewers conducting face-to-face interviews with women, old-fashioned paper and pencil. We've met people on street corners, in the beauty salons, in libraries, wherever we could find people, we met them. And I have a list that I'll show you a little later. We collected this data early, the first 6 months of 2008. This is our kind of a snapshot of all of our surveys. We screened 3,200 people, and 2,200 were eligible. And you can see from this, I highlighted the kind of important boxes in this, and you can see that 31% of that group was uninsured, and only 7% were enrolled in these programs. So remember, every one of those 679 women are eligible for those programs, and only 7% were actually enrolled. These are the venues kind of in general that we went to, and you can see that the other category, which is the YMCA, health fairs, PTA meetings, were the best resource to find people who didn't have health insurance, whereas the senior facilities and the beauty salons were not the best place. They were the lowest. But every other category of venue, we found about 30% of the population were uninsured. So now I'm going to talk about the results. So to kind of start, I'm going to show just a general overview of comparing the insured population in the survey to the uninsured population. And you can see that the only statistical difference was income, where the uninsured population had lower income, which is not surprising. They also were more likely to report using public transportation as their primary mode of transportation. Education and English as their primary language did not differ between the groups. Now we'll look at access to care and then access to mammography services. And you can see that essentially the uninsured population is less connected to the medical industry. They're also more likely to report never having had a mammogram and having a recent mammogram. They're less likely to report having had a recent mammogram. So they're really in need. Just note also that the United States Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System says that 75% of the U.S. population has had a recent mammogram, so the insured population meets that, and the uninsured population does not. So we also asked the question, have you ever heard of one of these programs? There are two in Illinois. One's called the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. The other is called Stand Against Cancer, which has an income requirement, but they generally serve the same population. And we asked each group, everybody on the survey, if they've heard of or could name one of these programs, and about the same heard of the program. And it's really low, considering they do advertising on buses and places where people would probably see the advertising, but only about 40% had heard of any one of these programs, and even fewer had named one of them. So now I'm just going to focus on the uninsured group. So there were 19 missing, so I do have a little discrepancy on the number of people who have heard versus not heard. So the sample size is 660. So I know these are a little busy, but I wanted to make sure I got everything in. So this is the access to routine care, including the referrals to mammograms. And you can see that people who have heard about these programs are definitely more connected to the preventative services. So they have... they're equally likely to have a usual source of care, and they're equally likely to have a primary care provider, although that's very low. The people who have heard of the program are more likely to have reported having a preventative service like a flu shot or seeing somebody for their diabetes or hypertension. They've been told by a physician, people who have heard of the program have been told by a physician that they need to get a mammogram routinely, and then they were also more likely to have received a referral. So as far as the mammography history, you can see the people who have not heard of the program were much more likely to have never reported a mammogram. And, you know, remember, these women are all over 40, so they should have at least had one mammogram in their lifetime. And then the people who have heard of the program were more likely to have had a mammogram. But that's also lower than the national level. Remember, 75% of the U.S. women who are age eligible had reported a recent mammogram, and this is even at the best at 69%, so it's definitely lower, and these are the uninsured women. So then we asked a series of questions about what would keep you from getting a mammogram. These are the barriers to mammograms, and overwhelmingly cost was the barrier for most women. The others did not have as big of an impact on preventing women from getting mammograms, including fear, including pain or fear of pain, being treated rudely, transportation issue. It's very easy to get around Chicago. But if they reported costs and one of those other barriers, they were also, the people who had not heard of the program were more likely to not have, you know, go to get their mammograms. They were more likely to report those barriers. But cost for sure is the most overwhelming barrier for all of these women. And just remember that these mammogram programs do cover the cost of these programs. They don't have to pay copays, they don't have to pay for the service. So they shouldn't, if they knew about the program, they shouldn't have cost as a barrier. It should be eliminating that barrier. So in conclusion, kind of the most striking thing about the survey, which is why I submitted this one as for an abstract, was the very low level of enrollment in these programs. I've seen advertising all over the city. I work on the west side where we surveyed these people. I live on the south side. I've seen these ads everywhere, but for some reason it's not connecting to the people who can actually use them. But note that although 7% of our sample were enrolled in the program, it really only covers about 11% of the state eligible population. It's a very low funding source for these mammograms. And then the uninsured and eligible women for these programs were less likely to have a primary care provider, a usual source of care, and thus they had fewer medical visits and had fewer mammograms. They were equally likely to know about the programs, which was interesting, and then more likely to report costs as a barrier than those without insurance, or those with insurance. The second set of slides. Now, I didn't include the information on enrolled in because, as you saw, there was only 47 women in our sample of 2,200 that were enrolled in the program, but the trend is almost identical to the slides I already showed you. So those who have both heard of and are enrolled in free mammogram programs are more likely to be connected to healthcare facilities, have spoken to their doctors about getting mammograms, and are more likely to have had a recent mammogram. They're less likely to report barriers to getting mammograms because, again, that program is intended to do that. Those who have not heard of the program or are not enrolled in the programs are more likely to report having had fewer mammograms or never having a mammogram. So what are the implications of these findings? Those who are eligible for these programs are unaware of them. I think I've made that point pretty clear. But in order to kind of make people more aware of the programs, we need more outreach and we need more education to find women in where they live, where they are, where they shop, where they play, where they take their kids, and bring them into, or at least let them know about these programs so that they can have the services they really need to save their life. Obviously, current advertising techniques aren't working. Just having a placard on a bus, people just don't notice that. There are also cost barriers that are preventing women from accessing these programs and navigation programs. Their intention is to eliminate those barriers. So we have this free program, this mammogram program. Now we need navigators to bring them into those programs. And what's happening is once people are enrolled, then they get navigated. But there's not much going on to get them into the programs. That's where Helping Her Live comes in. Then the capacity for these programs are actually quite limited. As I mentioned, only 11% of the Illinois, the whole state, can actually get mammograms to the program, even though there are many more are eligible. Cost is a major barrier in our small sample of people. So sometimes there's a lot of rumors that go around at the facility sites that say states stop paying for mammograms, so we can't give any more women mammograms, even though that's not always true. So there's always these communication barriers that are affecting how people get information back and forth. So one thing we did last year, I'm going to show a couple pictures. We rallied the governor's office during his election campaign because what was happening in Illinois is a lot of funding, just like every other state, fundings were being cut, programs were being threatened, and if certain politicians won an election versus others, then this program would have definitely been eliminated. So we rallied everybody up and marched to the governor's office and told him we want to keep this program going. And several hundred people came to this rally. It was pretty impressive. And what happened was the governor did not change anything for the prior year's funding. So at least we had one more year. But as you saw in the first couple slides, the funding is starting to decrease because of budget issues. So fewer women are now in fiscal year 2012 being able to get mammograms. Is that it? Okay, this is the last slide. So, you know, the ultimate goal and the implications of everything is that we have to make things better. Primary care and breast health is very complicated. You know, getting people through all of this system, you have to see one doctor, then you have to see another. It's very complicated. But adding these complicated state rules to make physicians unaware of programs so that they can't enroll people into the programs, it becomes kind of this mess of very, very complicated. And you know, people are just unsure of what to do. So communication is critical between the physicians and patients, between the programs and the clinicians, because they have to enroll people into the programs, and then the women who are eligible for the programs. And if we don't do this, the disparity will just continue to stay the way it is, and that's not acceptable. So that's all I have, I think. Oh, and our beautiful logo again. So thank you. Yes, actually. You know, the survey was done in 2008, so since then we've developed and implemented a navigation program where we meet people where they are, bring them into whatever facility is closest to their home, and then follow them all the way through to the end. And the end, typically for most people, is getting their diagnostic mammogram if there's an abnormality, or they'll have a reminder for the following year. So we really try to keep people coming back for their mammograms. It's been going on since about 2008.
I'm a navigator for IBCCP and Stroger, which is the Cook County in Chicago, and we're doing this pilot program which is trying to bridge the gap. And one of the hardest things, and maybe you can say a little bit about this, is the application process. It's actually 14 pages of an application. It's very lengthy. I'm not surprised why people don't get it, because it's only in Spanish and English. We have a lot of Polish-speaking, Indian-speaking. So I know that there's this free program, but it's not working. And I know that when I saw the application, I was like, I wouldn't even fill this out. It's 14 pages, and it's a lot. So how did you guys overcome that? Because it takes us about 2 hours to sit with a patient and even just try to get them an appointment.
That is still a barrier, obviously. I mean, we can't control what the state asks us to do. So if people need to be enrolled and they need to fill out those 14 pages, then they'll... We do not, but the doctors, the clinics, they have a staff member that's supposed to be doing that. Now, I don't know how often that works or how well that works, but if they did need us to be there, we would be there. We haven't had too many requests of people needing to be met at a primary care facility, but we do tell them they need to have all of their documentation with them, and people have been turned away because they didn't have, you know, the right piece of paper. It was not, you know... And then the referral situation gets a little crazy because it has to be on the exact right piece of paper. The doctor can't just write a prescription. So it just becomes really complicated, I think, on all fronts, not just, you know, at the, you know, the program level, but also with the doctors. And although the forms are easy to get, you know, no one wants to sit in a doctor's office and fill out forms for an hour and then go see their doctor and have to wait for that. And then it's really, there's just a huge barrier
that we need to figure out.
Right.
Did you address that barrier with the people, you know, when you were surveying them? Did you ask them, was just the application process a problem?
No, we did not ask them about that, but we could on the next round of the survey.
Right, because that may be the barrier.
Right.
Or
and the language.
And the language, right, because we do have a lot of...